worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Dr. Judith Orloff, and we're talking about the genius of empathy, and that's the title of her book. When we're talking about caregiving, when we're caregivers, it takes some stamina. What are some of the techniques or things that we can think about as we're caregivers and how we can protect ourselves and in some way or so that we continue to have energy to be empathetic?
That's exactly it. And the caregivers have to take care of themselves. And what I've experienced in my own life and what I've seen with my patients is if I'm in a caregiving position, I just stay there. I just want to stay there and be there and watch everything and take care of the person like a lioness, you know, and it's too much. You can't keep it up if it's a chronic thing or, you know, if there's a lot of pain, you can't keep it up. You have to take a break and go to the creek, walk by the creek, walk on the grass, just do something, get yourself out of the energy field of being with the one you're loving and caregiving for. And you have to let nature and the heart energy replenish you as you're going through this. The breaks are so important, and meditation is so important to be able to just close your eyes once again and come back to your center. Because what happens is that people give 200% and they give more energy reserves than they actually have.
Yeah.
And so it takes a toll after a while. And so in order to replenish, if you look at the caregiving process as a sacred, it's a holy act, it is when you're caregiving, you know, beloveds, or when I'm caregiving patients, as part of that sacred act, you have lessons there too for you. And that's being empathic with yourself. And going back to the resources you know will build up your energy. And even if you're tired, even whatever, you have to do this. And sometimes it's rest. You know, to get as much rest, sleep is so nurturing and healing, and it repairs everything. Sleep does. So to go into your sleep in the dream time and allow yourself, for me, dreaming is very important, and it replenishes me in so many ways. And it gives me guidance about how to be with a person if I'm caregiving. And just know that when you're caregiving, you know, be very empathic with yourself. And it's sometimes you can get angry at the person, you know, and sometimes you could be mean to the person and you don't mean to be. It's just the stress level gets so high that you want to train yourself to leave at those points where you just get frustrated. I was talking to some friends about that. We're all, you know, dealing with somebody right now, different people. And, you know, just lovely women. And we behave in ways sometimes that aren't, you know, how we want to be. So you have to have empathy for that, for yourself. You have to learn to take breaks and replenish yourself. And if you can, to have some help. You know, and have other people sit there, if you have to delegate
some. Yeah. You know, I'm reminded of, I was the caretaker of my mother and her dying, and I was pretty strict about, you know, her pills and her pain pills and things like that. And, you know, I put them in a special place, and her sisters came to visit us where she was in our home at the time. And mother was a binge alcoholic all of her life. And so, of course, she wasn't drinking at this time. But her sisters were there. And what she did was she discovered where those pain pills were. And she took more than what was, you know, designated that she should take. And she got really high. And I noticed that she had the best time and the best visit with her sisters. It was just a very magical moment. And there it was, you know, I thought I knew best for her. And I was kind of being like a nurse ratchet, you know, and that very firm nurse. And just letting it flow was what was called for in that moment. And it wasn't rational, but it was really heartful. And I'm so grateful for it.
Yes, yes. It's a beautiful mystery, the caregiving. And especially if someone is at the end of life, you know, where, you know, I personally feel they're entitled to do whatever they want as long as it doesn't hurt other people around them.
Yeah.
You know, but they're entitled, and they're entitled to die as they like too. If your grandfather wants to die watching that football game, you know, God bless him. Let him watch it. Don't give him a hard time. I've seen my patients give him a hard time in the hospital because they think he should be dealing with his emotions. And no, that's not it. Empathy is let it be, you know, be there and shine the light and show empathy, as we've been discussing. And know that that's a beautiful thing.
Right. You mentioned earlier something about people who have empathic deficit disorder, and there's a spectrum of them. But one of the ones that we most come in touch with, I think, in our lives are those who are narcissistic. And even, you know, what is your advice? Let's say it might be a family member that we can't, you know, disassociate ourselves with completely. Or it might be a work, it might be our boss or some coworker, and we have to cope with it. So help us and advise us in the context of empathy if we have to live with a narcissist.
Yes, well, now, again, there's a spectrum of empathy. The lowest amount is the empathy deficient disorder people, the narcissists and sociopaths and psychopaths. And then in the middle is everyday empathy, the beautiful empathy. And at the high end are the empaths. And it's a reality that we in our world, we have narcissists everywhere now. So we have, you know, such a lesson, you know, in the world scene of what the effects of narcissism can do. But if you have somebody that you have to deal with, first of all, you have to learn how to diagnose a narcissist. And this isn't just for doctors or, you know, healthcare practitioners. You know, I go through, this is what you look for. They're always the same. You know, basically, so you look for the signs. Do they gaslight you? Do they love bomb you? And all of a sudden, all this love is around you and they're seducing you. Do they, you know, withdraw from you and become cold and withholding and punishing if you don't do what they say?
So are you saying, like, at first they love bomb you, everything's love, but then when you get looking for that in your life and you're used to that, and then suddenly they withdraw it, and it's a kind of control. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's what people say. Well, what do they want? You know, what are they after? And it's simple. They're after power. They get off on power. And if they have power over you, you know, it gets them happy. That's what does it for them. And it's so hard for empaths and sensitive people to get that, as they think, oh, if I'm only nicer, if I change this about myself, if I ignored him calling me stupid, you know, he didn't mean it or she didn't mean it, you know. So that's what empaths do. But I am very strict in this respect, you know, as you were strict with the other, you know. It's like, this is just how they are. And these are people with blatant narcissism. Sometimes, though, I want to say people have narcissistic traits, and you can sometimes work with that in therapy if they're self-absorbed. You know, if they don't know how to express their heart or their emotions, then I could work with that. But the other kind, the malignant narcissist, I can't work with in therapy because they'll just blame the other person and say, it's her fault, it's his fault. They can't take responsibility. So it's a matter of all you sensitive people out there, or anyone, realizing the reality of what they are, be able to diagnose them, make a plan, you know, for how to deal with them. For instance, if you have a boss that's a narcissist, you have to lower your expectations and frame things in terms of how it will serve them. Otherwise, you'll never get any of your needs met. As unfair and tedious as that is, that if anything will work, I mean, get your needs met, that will. But if you keep going to your narcissistic boss with all your problems and expect them to be heartfelt people, you are just going to get hurt over and over and over again. So it's about being realistic, knowing who you're dealing with, diagnosing them properly. And really, it's easy to just, you go through the signs that I talk about and you'll be able to diagnose them and make a choice in your life. Because once you're involved with a narcissist, it's really hard to get out. You know, I've worked with so many people who, you know, they've married the narcissist and they have children with the narcissist and they don't want to leave because the children are growing up. And in the meantime, their self-esteem is going, you know, it's crashing and they get depressed. So, you know, finally, after 20 years, you know, they limp out of it with their life.
Right.
They begin a new life.
Right.
But I'm not hyperbolizing here. This is truly what happens. So I really say, beware, all you loving, sensitive people, don't do this to yourself.
So you're saying that if trying to change the situation is just not working, just remove yourself from that. Even if you have to continue to live with them, remove your expectations of their changing and then work within that other framework.
Yes, exactly. And then at least you'll be more realistic. And then if you're at a family dinner, just don't sit next to them.
Right.
You can do really practical things. You don't want to sit next to them if you can, you know, decide where you want to sit. So you want to take care of yourself and you don't want to, you know, answer their questions. If they try and are very seductive, how are you doing? You have to realize that's just one of the symptoms of narcissism. Not that all seductive people are narcissists, but they tend to be.
So you just watch the way they want to bait you for, you know, getting into it or whatever it is, and just like remove yourself. I guess it's setting some boundaries for yourself.
And there's a technique I talk about, which is the gray rock technique. And what that is being a gray rock with them, to not showing your emotions, not getting upset, not crying, not, you know, getting involved with their dance, and just being like, if you've ever seen a gray rock, it's just very contained. And you see, they feed off of your intense emotions. It's called narcissistic supply. And when you don't give them that supply, they don't get fed. And so they might go on to somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. I'm here with Judith Orloff, Dr. Judith Orloff, and she's the author of The Genius of Empathy. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Dr. Judith Orloff, and we're talking about the superpower of empathy. And I need to ask you, can we have too much empathy?
The answer is yes.
Uh-oh.
Definitely. Where empathy, too much empathy is given to the wrong people and they take advantage of it and then suck you dry. So you have to be very discerning. There's ways to have empathy with people who do horrific things or who hurt you. And it's having empathy for the suffering that caused them to commit these acts. It's never having empathy for the act itself. And so you're not having empathy for someone who betrayed you. You're not, you're having empathy for the, maybe the childhood abuse that caused them to not be able to tolerate intimacy and do hurtful things. So, and the reason you want to have empathy with people who have harmed you or that you don't like is that it frees you energetically. It cuts the cord. So you're not thinking about them all the time, like 20 years down the line,
right?
Not recounting the same story.
Right, exactly. In the subtitle of your book, part of it is the skills to heal your relationships and the world, how to acknowledge our differences. And you know, Judith, I'm reminded of an interview that I did recently with Christy Nelson. And she is the most energetic ambassador for grateful living and wrote a book called Wake Up Grateful. And she has this rule that, you know, we all know the golden rule, treat others as I would want to be treated. That is kind of the golden rule. And she said, no, it's, she adheres to the grateful rule, which is do unto others as they would have you do unto them, because it becomes an exercise into the other person really caring for them and being curious about their needs rather than projecting my needs on them. And I think that you also adhere to that about when we work with people with difference, that we really get out of our projections of how it should be.
Yes, it's always, you know, part of empathy is to discover who a person is, if they're different than you, because studies have shown that it's easier to have empathy with people we perceive are the same or similar to us, that when people start having differences, you start getting into us versus them or stranger mentality, as opposed to welcome the stranger as yourself. You know, you see them as dangerous. And in a way, this is primal. But it's important to look at this in terms of empathy. And when someone is different from you, it doesn't mean you have to like them or dislike them, but you can explore, you know, what is really going on. And I can guarantee you, if they're human, we have all the commonalities of wanting to be seen, of wanting to be heard, of wanting to be appreciated. And I'm not necessarily including narcissists in there. It would have to be on a case-by-case basis. But in terms of just people who are different culturally, different in so many other ways, no, we're all the same, basically. We're all made of this human package. And we have differences in our upbringing and karma and all that. But, you know, if you wanted to, you could probably connect with everybody. You know, and certainly the humankind as a whole, you can meditate and connect with everyone.
Well, I know that I have I would call her a friend, and we are opposite poles politically, just absolutely opposite. But we've learned to respect one another. And I think that that comes from my, I have to brag on myself because my being genuinely curious and deeply listening to her, and she feels that I see her, and yeah. That's all it takes. I don't agree with her, and she knows that I don't agree with her, but she feels seen by me, and that's the power in what you're talking about, isn't it?
Sure is. It definitely is. That's when people are seen, they become less defensive and less combative. And less playing with power and power games. when they feel seen, their little child inside is going, I never had this before. This feels good. You know, and you want to do that as much as possible. That doesn't mean to support things that are destructive. It doesn't mean any of that. And it doesn't mean that everybody who's been horribly hurt, you know, in personally or in a larger way, isn't entitled to every bit of grief and anger and holding on to what you've experienced as long as you need to. But what I'm saying is that when you're ready, it will help you and be healing for you to be able to have some sort of empathy and forgiveness so that you could be free.
Yes.
And you don't want to carry around all these things your whole right. life. But I just want to emphasize, you don't do it prematurely either. You know, if you're enraged at somebody, you have to give it time to work through. You can't just go to forgiveness.
So you don't bypass your feelings.
No. You are how you are as long as you need to be. But also know there's another step in the journey if you so choose to take it.
Right. And I'm also thinking as you're speaking, I'm reminded of just the gift that your time and attention is to another person. Just that in itself. And do you have any thoughts on that?
Time is the most precious thing to me of all things. The time I give and the quality of time that I share with people, nothing is more important than that for me. And so it's a precious gift to give of your energy, your eye contact, your humor, your connection, your joys, your sorrows, you know, to have all that. Like we're talking here, Justine, and we are on the same wavelength and we are connecting and I can feel the energy going back and forth. And it's a beautiful thing. So this is something we want to strive towards, and it's not beyond anyone. Even if you feel lost today, even if you feel misunderstood or hurt, you could begin at this very point of listening to our conversation to soften with yourself and begin the path of empathy. And I can't tell you how many times I've been on my knees and I think, I can't do this. And then I just go to sleep or I meditate. And then the next morning I start all over again.
Yes, I hear you. One other thing that I would love to cover before we end today, and this has to do with empathic leadership and how it is so needed in these times. And Judith, you know, you might say, oh, well, I'm not a leader, but we're all leaders of something. We might be leaders in our family or a leader in our book group or whatever. So say something about the need for empathic leadership.
Yeah, so certainly in the workplace, it would be it's so needed to have a boss or a leader who can say, well, what do you feel about this? What is your creative input? I value that. I don't just ignore it. I don't just go the other direction. I said, that is really incredible. Let me hear more. You know, you feel into other people and you make them feel important as opposed to I'm the boss, do what I do or else, which is the old paradigm. And when you said everybody's a leader, we are. We have, you know, people are brought into leadership roles spontaneously in life, you know, and maybe, you know, it's happened to me a lot of times where over the years where I've been somewhere like at the gym and somebody collapses. And then what do you do in that case? So I go up to the person. I immediately send them energy when they're calling the paramedics. But, you know, you're put in positions where life will spontaneously call on you. So don't be afraid to express empathy in those situations.
So what I hear you say is like, pay attention, pay attention, be awake to what's going on around you. I mean, we kind of go with our to-do list and our tunnel vision that we're trudging along. I got to finish this grocery shopping or I got to do this, that, or the other. So you're saying to open our focus up a bit and notice maybe the woman who has a child who's having a temper tantrum in an aisle in the grocery store, and maybe, offering, you know, your heart. And that's just a small example, and I'm sure you have others.
Or you offer your space in line, saying, would you like to go before me? I do that a lot. I love doing that. It's so much fun for me because it makes people happy. They love to go forward in a line. Nobody lets them go forward.
So I love it. I love it. That is so great. I love that idea. So let's be aware of all the little ways and the big ways that we can show our empathy towards others. And it helps us and it helps the world, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Judith, I want to thank you so much for being with us today on New Dimensions.
You're very welcome. It was a joy, Justine, to be with you.
Thank you. I've been speaking with Dr. Judith Orloff, and she is the author of The Genius of Empathy, Practical Skills to Heal Your Sensitive Self, Your Relationships, and the World. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, drjudithorloff.com. And she abbreviates doctor, so it's Dr. Judith Orloff, O-R-L-O-F-F, drjudithorloff.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3809.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the Donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over four decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org, or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support, and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Terry Real, author of Us. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about creating more loving relationships in our lives and in our world.
Hello, this is Boris Chassaing. To get a feel on what's happening across the country, listen to Viewpoints. For reports, interviews, and documentaries on politics, arts and culture, the environment, housing, and more. Thanks to 30 journalists stationed in the Canadian provinces and territories. Local news nationwide. Mondays at 4:30 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM and streaming online at cjsf.ca.